All right, morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Mem Beis. We are today on the bottom of Mem Alpha Mem Beis. We're starting with the words Meisve. Okay, recap of yesterday. Yesterday, we quoted a Mishnah in Menachos. Mishnah in Menachos talked about being mefagel by carbon mincha. Mefagel by carbon mincha operates basically the same way as being mefagel by a regular carbon, a standard carbon. Instead of the dollar of votes regarding the dam, so there are avodas regarding the komets and the lavona. So they are the matirim, they are the ones that permit the allowance of the consumption of the rest of the carbon mincha. So what do you do with the lavona and komets? It's very simple. In other words, you take a lavona, which is sprinkled on the top of most every mincha, is taken off the mincha and burned on the top of the mizbeach, and as far as the komets is concerned, the kohen takes his hand, sticks it, inserts it into the mincha, takes out a fistful of the flour, and that is now the kemitza. And once the lavona and the kemitza are offered on the top of the mizbeach, that's ki'ilu, that's like the blood being sprinkling on the mizbeach. And so that, therefore, they serve as the matirim. They allow the consumption of the karb mincha. And so therefore, you could be mefagel, you don't want to, of course, but you could be mefagel during the kemitza and the haktaras ha-lavona, the burning of the lavona and the offering of the kemitza. That's great. What we discussed yesterday is, let's say you had a machshavas pickle during one of the two matirim. So in other words, there are two matirim. So that means that you could split them in half. So you could have a machshava during either the lavona, but not the kemitza, or you could have a machshava during the kemitza, not the lavona. So what we learned yesterday is the machlokes from Rameir and the Chacham. The Chacham says it doesn't result in pigle. Disqualifies the carbon, but doesn't result in pigle. Why not? Because in order for pigle to manifest, you have to have the entire matir in mind. So in other words, just having a fraction of the matir in mind is not going to be good. You have to have the entire matir in mind. And the way the Gemara expresses it is ein mefagle mechatzi matir. That's the opinion of the Chacham. Whereas Reb Meir says no, it becomes pigle. It becomes pigle, and the consumption of the mincha, therefore, from this point going forward, would be subject to the kari's penalty, even though you only had a machshava during one of the two matirin. What is the basis for the opinion of Reb Meir? So, what I would have said, and what the Gemara, go ahead and spell this out, but that's not true. The Gemara did spell it out. What the simplest way to explain Reb Meir is that he disagrees fundamentally with the Chachamim. In other words, he's of the opinion that you could be mefagel even though it's chatzi matir. Even though it represents only a portion of the matir, but still, pigle can be created even with a chatzi matir. That seemingly is the position of Reb Meir as would be the easiest way to explain it. However, in the Gemara yesterday, the Gemara quoted the opinion of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that's not correct. That's not the opinion of Reb Meir. In fact, Reb Meir agrees with the Chachamim that in order to create pigle by a carbon, you have to have the full matir in mind. So if you have to have the full matir in mind, so how does it work in the Mishnah Menachos? How did you understand Reb Meir over there? And the answer is like this, that vis-a-vis pigle by the mincha, so because you had a machshava during the first matir, so we're going to assume that machshava carries over to all the subsequent matirim as well. The way Reish Lakish phrased it yesterday is kol ha'osa al das rishona hu osa. That when you're doing something with to have in mind the rest of the avodas as well. Basically, a carryover effect, a momentum effect. In other words, by having a machshava in the beginning, that machshava carries through to the end, even though you were shosik, even though you were quiet for the rest. Okay, it's an idea which the Gemara doesn't translate it to other areas in halacha. It is carried over to other areas in halacha, or something we didn't discuss about yesterday. But anyway, but right now our focus today is just going to work on the Gemara and a good understanding of the Gemara. This is Reish Lakish's understanding of Reb Meir, so that means now as follows. That with Reish Lakish's understanding of Reb Meir, it really is important which half you were mefagel. Meaning if now with this new understanding of Reb Meir, with this Reish Lakish understanding of Reb Meir, if you're mefagel, not in the first matir, but in the second matir, that doesn't work. Meaning the only way it's going to work, according to Reb Meir, is that if you're mefagel during the first matir, and then you have the carryover machshava taking you through the rest of the matir. And that, only in that case would it be a machshava spigel. If we found a braisa, I'll throw it out there. If we found a braisa that said that according to Reb Meir, you could be mefagel even though you had the second matir in mind and not the first, so that would rip apart the Reish Lakish understanding of Reb Meir. It happens to be that at the end of the daf today, spoiler alert, at the end of the daf today, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that does seem to indicate that, and it is going to be difficult for Reish Lakish. But the Gemara spends the entirety of today defending the viewpoint of Reish Lakish. Parenthetically, the entire day today, the entire daf is all but a defense of the opinion of Reish Lakish.
Who's he arguing with?
This Reish Lakish is not arguing with anyone per se. There's no, the Gemara doesn't present another side to it, but there's a simpler way to explain the machlokas, like I said in the beginning. Meisvei, the Gemara now is going to be challenging with the following. Okay, now, before we start with this brisa, I'll read the brisa, and then I'll give you all the necessary information. Meisvei, bamedvar mamorim be, damim mitanim ha-mizbeach ha-chitzen, that's blood that's sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, avodam mitanim ha-mizbeach ha-panimi, but blood sprinkled on the inner mizbeach, kigon. Arbaim v'shalosh Yom Kippur, like the 43 sprinklings of Yom Kippur. Ve'achar asor shel par kohen Mashiach, or the 11 of the par kohen gadol. Ve'achar asor shel par helam davar shel tzibur, or the 11 of the par helam davar shel tzibur. So pigel, the carbon can result in pigel. Bein b'rishona, bein b'shnia, bein b'shlish, is whether it's in round 1, or round 2, or round 3. I'll explain that much better in just a moment. Rameir omer pigel, v'chayev malav karis. Rameir says that in such an event, it does become pigel. The carbon does become pigel. And v'chachamim omrim ein bokaris ad shifaga b'chol hamatir. And the chachamim are of the opinion that it does not become pigel until you have the machshavas pigel during the entirety of the matir. Okay, let us get a crash course in the avod of Yom Kippur so that we understand the number 43 over here and we understand round 1, round 2, round 3. Meaning there are two numbers that we have to understand. What is 43? Meaning, what are the 43 sprinklings of Yom Kippur? And when the Brisa here is describing Bein B'rishona, Bein B'shnia, Bein B'shlishis, we're talking about three rounds. What are the three rounds? So, okay, let's go. Avodas Yom Kippurim. Everything I'm saying right now is in the Torah, it's in Parshas Achrei Mos. There is a little bit of room for interpretation, which we'll talk about later this morning, but right now, here's 1, 2, and 3. In other words, there are two karbanos where you're going to be shechting the karban and the blood is going to be brought into not only the heichal, but into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And sprinkled in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, subsequently in the heichal, and then subsequently on the Mizbeach HaPnimi in the heichal itself. Okay, round 1. Round 1 is a reference to the par and the seir, meaning both of them are going to be shechted, not at the same time. But the par and the seir, the par belongs to the Kohen Gadol, the seir is the seir of Klal Yisrael. So they're going to be shechted, and then with the blood of the bull, it's going to be taken into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkled Bein Habad in between the poles. Meaning you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I say you, I mean the Kohen Gadol, and he's facing the Aron, and he's sprinkling in the direction of the Aron, Achas, Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, one above, seven below. So that obviously creates for a total of 8. And then what he's going to do is he's going to take that blood, and then he's going to go back out into the Heichal, facing the Parochas, facing the curtain, separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and sprinkling Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, one above, seven below, that's another 8. That gets us to 16. Okay, let's put that on hold. Now we're going to take the goat of the seer, the blood of the goat, sorry. And the blood of the goat now is also going to be taken into the Kodesh Kodashim, Achas Lamata V'Sheva Lamata, that's 8. Then out into the Kodesh, facing the Parochas, Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata, that's another 8. So now we have done now a total of 8 sprinklings 4 times over. 2 with the bull, 2 with the goat, that gets us to 32. Now, at this point in time, the bloods of the two, the bull and the goat, are going to be mixed together. And then, with the mixture of the blood and the goat, there's now going to be a sprinkling on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the inner Mizbeach. How many? A total of 4 plus another 7. 4 on the 4 corners of the Mizbeach, and then 7 al Tiharo HaMizbeach. Now, Tiharo Mizbeach, how do you understand that? Well, you just remember a couple days ago, the Gemara thought one way, but the Gemara concluded another way. TRO means the top of the Mizbeach. 7 times on the very top of the Mizbeach. So 4 plus 7, that's another 11. So 32 plus 11, 43. That gets us to the number 43. What's round 1, round 2, round 3? Round 1 is the sprinkling that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat. Round 2 is the sprinkling that's done in the direction of the Paroches. Right, 8 times with the blood of the bull, 8 times with the blood of the goat, and then round 3 is the one that is done on the Mizbeach, where according to our opinion, it's not going to be the accepted opinion, but according to our opinion right now, the bloods get mixed together, and then 4 on the corners and 7 on the top, that's another 11. So round 1 is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, round 2 is towards the direction of the Paroches, and round 3 is going to be on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Those are the 43 over here. Rameir says that if a machshavas pigel were to occur either during round one or during round two or during round three, the result is pigol v'yesh bo karis. And yes, by the way, if you take a step back from the Gemara right now, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur trying to affect pigol. And in other words, there's never an opportune time to try to affect pigol, and the Kohen Gadol doing so on Yom Kippur probably would be the least opportune moment to do so. Although I maybe can make the argument that it's Yom Kippur and it'll provide a kapara for him. But okay, in any event.
What is it about Yom Kippur? It's supposed to be Matthew 4.
Well, it's Matthew the carbon, meaning now the carbon is going to be offered. Now, when you say the carbon's offered, meaning no one's eating the carbon, these are chatos apnimios. So a couple of emorim are going to go on to the mizbeach, onto the outer mizbeach, and the rest of it's going to be burnt. So in other words, the matir is not for anyone to eat it, but still, it's in other words, it's going to be nikrav. Agabe
ha-mizbeach. So he has in mind that like, the emorim are going to go on the mizbeach later and they're supposed to on
him. Yeah. In other words, he's saying that tomorrow instead, right? Correct. In other words, instead of the emorim being offered today, the emorim are going to be offered tomorrow. And there you have it. Okay, strange. And nobody will get kares for. Well, no, if it's pigol. In other words, according to Rameir, it does become pigol and chayav and love kares. And so then you're going to get pigol for consuming it. Now, consuming it over here,
yes.
Well, right. In other words, no. Right. Great. Right. In other words, we're not allowed.
But the thing is that if he's going to be offering the emorim after the supposed time, right? Then it's not a proper avodah anyway. So how would the two communicate?
Again, remember, we go back to a point that we've gone over before. Pigol is a machshava.
But for people to be enforceable, everything has to be done correctly.
When you say everybody, you mean when you say everything has to be done
correctly.
Only with the blood. Only with the blood. Anything after that point in time is not relevant towards pigol. The everything has to be done correctly, meaning everything with the blood has to be done correctly.
For both the anemia and
all the steps from the avodah have to be done correctly.
It's not correct.
Same thing for you.
There's a difference between pneumonia and... Wait, just a second. This is an important point to clarify. It's not... No. It's only with the blood. In other words, karatzas kashaka, karatzas pasul is only vis-a-vis the blood. That has to be done correctly in order for pigol to manifest.
I said that for pneumonia, the remainder also is as important. For pneumonia, like any korban pneumonia...
We'll get the shirayim that's on the Adar Mizbeach?
Right.
Okay, we'll get to that. The Gemara is going to get to that later. Okay, so now, where do we stand right now? So the way we're reading the Braisa, which is really the way the Braisa presents itself, is that according to our Meir, pigol could occur whether you have a machshava either during round one or down round two or round three. Now, for Reish Lakish's understanding of our Meir, we are really in a bind, meaning we're stuck. Because Reish Lakish says, in explanation of our Meir, what's the basis of our Meir's position? The carryover effect. In other words, if you had a machshava's pigol in the beginning, so it carries over for the rest. That's great if you had a machshava during round one. But the Braisa says very clearly, bein b'rishona, bein b'shnia, bein b'shlishis. Whether you had it during round one, or during round two, or during round three, it's considered machshava's pigol. And the easiest way to read the Braisa is that it's either one, or two, or three, and this certainly is not going to be supportive of the opinion of Reish Lakish, and we are in a bit of trouble.
So, on this question about chorus, creating the chorus
is not karis.
So
no, it's only consuming.
Nobody eats it, so what is the...
Well, it's not true. In other words, the mizbech is going to eat it, meaning the consumption goes in the mizbech. The mizbech is not going to get karis. So, meaning, if you eat that portion, in other words, you shouldn't. But if you eat that portion, you're going to be subject to karis. And also, I'd venture a guess that even though the animal needs to be burnt, but if somebody were to go ahead and eat that animal, now you're not allowed to because, in other words, it's not mutar la'achila. In other words, it's omid la'sreifa. It needs to be burnt. But let's say you eat the animal without pigol, are you going to be chayv karis for eating that animal? I don't think so. Meaning it's. Whoever's going to be mal the avarim subject karis, okay. I hear that. Okay. Again, we're getting a little bit lost. Okay, speak to the crowd. We're getting a little bit lost right now in the details. Meaning, right now our goal should be focusing on how Rav Meir is going to be reading this braisa. In that, according to Rav Meir, as Reish Lakish understands Rav Meir, it's only based on a carryover effect. If you have a machshavas pigol in the beginning, it carries over to the end. And now this braisa does not read that way. And so what the Gemara is now going to do, and it's going to take the entire amud of the first amud of today, to try to read the Braisa in defense of Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish's understanding of Rav Meir, So let's get underway. So we start off number one. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avin Halacha b'Maaskin k'gon shepika b'shchita. Dechad mati here. So the first proposal of the Gemara is that you had a machshavas pigol during the shchita, which is one matir. Now, what the Gemara is proposing is as follows. Now, when the Braisa is talking about having pigol during shniyah, is, let's say, under the following circumstance. I'm explaining the Gemara like Rashi. Everything I'm saying right now is Rashi. Let's say that after the first round, round number one you did fine, and then what happened is that you spilled the blood. Spilled the blood and lost the blood. And so what do I need now in Yom Kippur? We need to do this again. We need to shech the animals again, the bull and the goat, and I need to bring the blood because I need to finish the job. Now, right now, we are assuming that every round is a standalone, which means that let's say I did round one of eight, and now I'm somewhere in the middle of round two and the blood gets spilled. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to get a new animal, shech the new animal, and start again at the beginning of round two. That's what we're going to be assuming right now. We'll change that assumption a little bit later on, but that's going to be our assumption. So what we are now suggesting is that the way to understand the Braisa is that as you are now shechting the animal for round two, so you're now having a machshavas pigel at the point of shechita. Okay. And so even though now this is not representing all of the avodas, but I don't need to do all the avodas right now. Round one is in the books. Round one is completed. We've closed the book on sprinkling of round one. So this shechita now is going to be for round two. And the point that Rav Meir is making is that even though I'm not doing all of the sprinkling for round two, but because this is the beginning for this animal, so therefore that's why it's going to be pigel. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi my time at the Rabbanan." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you want to give such an ukim to us in such a scenario. So now I have a better question for you. So if that's the case that the Bryce is talking about, albeit the case is a forced case, but if that's the case the Bryce is talking about, who would argue with that now? Meaning, I'm shechting this animal for the sprinkling of round two. It's not pigel. Meaning, Rav Meir says it's pigel. Who's going to argue with that? Why would the Chachamim disagree with that? So Amar Rav Aman Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer hi. So the Gemara says like this, that even if this is a scenario which we're dealing with, we'll still say that the Chachamim are arguing with Rav Meir because the Chachamim over here represent the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Ditnan. Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We will see this Mishnah later in the Masechta. We'll see it also in Menachos as well. Hakametz v'alavon v'aktoros u'minchas kohanim u'minchas kohen Mashiach u'minchas nesachim. So I have all of these karbanos, which are part of a carbon. The comet's obviously just the fistful, the lavona, the frankincense on the top, and the kataris and the minchas kohanim. These are all part of a carbon put up onto the mizbech. Minchas kohen mashiach, minchas nesachim. Minchas nesachim is just a fancy way of saying nesachim, the libations that come with a carbon. Sheikri me'achas me'em kezayis b'chutz. If I offer part of it outside of the beis hamikdash, chayiv one would be chayiv. Even though I am offering something outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and even though that's Ha'alah B'chutz, as we've discussed already, a couple days in this Masechta, it's in Parshas Achrim most, offering something outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash is subject to the Kari's penalty. Here, what is being offered up is part of a carbon, but not the entire carbon. According to the Chachamim, you're still going to be Chayiv. Rabbi Elazar Poter, Ashi Akriv is Kula. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, no. You're only going to be chayiv when you're offering the entire carbon outside of the Mizbeach area. I'm sorry, outside the Beis HaMikdash area, not just part of a carbon. Now, here, it's funny the Gemara is making this comparison. It is a little bit apples and oranges. Because over here, we're not talking about pigel, we're talking about halal b'chutz. But here's what the Gemara is assuming, and Rashi spells this point out. In other words, if it's true by halal b'chutz, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you're not going to be chayiv on the isra of halal b'chutz until you offer the entire carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, so that would mean then that in pigel, you only are going to be subject to the pigel penalty and the creation of pigel only when you have the entire avoda in mind. That's the Gemara's thinking, and that is now how we can explain the opinion of the Chachamim counter to that of Reb Meir. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rava Moda Reb Elazar B'damin Dinan Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Amri Mimakum Shepasuk Misham Hu Maschil." The Gemara says, "Look, that's true that when it comes to Rabbi Eliezer and his view on halal b'chutz, you're not going to be chayv on the isser until you bring the entire carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash area. That part's true. But when it comes to the blood of a carbon, he happens to be of the opinion that any avoda that's done with the blood of Yom Kippur is significant. How do I know that? Based on a Mishnah that the Gemara quotes right over here. The Mishnah says that let's say you stopped at any point during the Avodas Yom HaKippurim with any one of the sprinklings. So you're going to get a new animal, you're going to shech the new animal, you're going to get more blood in. Where do you start from? Wherever you finished. Wherever the last sprinkling was, that's where you're going to start from. What do you see from that? That according to Rabbi Eliezer, together with Rabbi Shimon, every hazah that's done is significant. And so therefore, when it comes to the avodah of Yom Kippur, so every sprinkling is significant. If you have a machshavas pigul on any one of them, presumably would be significant. So we basically, this approach that was just given by Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin does not seem to work out. Because he's suggesting that what the case of the Brisa is, when the Brisa says whether round one, round two, or round three, is that where we're starting with a new animal for round two. In other words, we spilled the blood from round one, or I should say after round one. We're starting with a new either par RC ear for round two, and you're having a machshavas pigul for that while doing the shechita for that carbon. To which the Gemara says, no, it can't be, because then there would be no machlokas. Everyone would agree that pigul is in fact affected. So Elamar Amarava. So here we go now with another suggestion of the Brisa. Kigon shepigol b'rishon v'shasak b'shnia v'chazor pigol b'shlishis. Ah. So the case of the Brisa is like this. Again, it's another ukimta. It's another, I'm saying this respectfully. It's a forced shot in the Brisa, but it goes like this. In other words, again, on Yom Kippur, there are three rounds of sprinkling. Round one is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Round two is towards the Parochus. Round three is on the Mizbeach HaPanimi. And what the person had is he had a machshavas pigul for round one and round three, and not for round two. Round two, he was quiet. But this Kohen Gadol, for the sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, said, chutz l'zmano, kept doing it every time. And then during the Torah, the Paroch, it said nothing. And then, on the Mizbeach HaPanimi, once again, chutz l'zmano. Now, again, let's assume, like with Reb Meir, the right way to understand Reb Meir is that not that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir, but the carryover effect. That's Rish Lakish. So that means to say that if you had a machshav in the beginning, it carries over to the rest. So over here, so of course it carries over to the rest. Not only does it carry over to the rest, but in other words, you got a bonus machshava, meaning you had a machshava during round three. Okay, so in other words, why would I have thought any differently? But the Gemara over here tells us, here's the Havamina. It's really good. Ma'u detema, isakadacha al das rishonahu mehader. I'm sorry, Al Das Rishonahu, Mehadir Pekuli B'Shlishis Lamali, Kamash Malan. The Havamin is wonderful. Look, if you're relying on the carryover effect, so that means that what do you need? You need to have a machshava, number one, and then you can be quiet for the rest. And if it's all now reliant on your first machshava, that's great. Meaning, and again, when I say great, obviously we're talking in the context of pigul over here. Nothing's great, but in other words, just in terms of the affecting, the creating of pigul, it works. In other words, because you had it during one and it carries over to two and three. Ah. But over here, here's what the Bryce is outlining. What if you had a machshav at round one and at round three? So in other words, why did you need it at round three? Oh, maybe round three is showing us that you were not relying on the carryover effect. And that means that when you're quiet for round number two, you literally did not have any machshava in mind. You did not have a carryover effect from number one. Otherwise, why did you have a machshava again in round three? That's the havamina. That's the ma'od tema. And so therefore, I might have thought that if that's a circumstance over there, one could make the argument that Rameir would tell you that it shouldn't be pigul. Because the round three shows us that round two had no machshava whatsoever. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is no. That, in other words, even in such a circumstance, we rely on the carryover effect. In other words, round two where you were quiet, it still had a machshavas pigul because round one you had a machshavas pigul. Carrying over into two, you had a machshava again at round three. Okay, whatever, you wanted to reinforce your machshava, however you want to say it. So, this is Rava now explaining the Brisa in defense of Reish Lakish. So maskal v'ravashi midishasa katani. So again, the Gemara says, look, it's nice, it's a nice pshat in the Brisa, but it's not consistent with the words of the Brisa. The Brisa does not say that he was quiet during two. Meaning you're giving an ukimta in the Brisa, but that's not what the Brisa says. So, here we go now, round three. Round three of the Brisa, Elam Ravashi, Achab Maiskin and Kagon, Shepigal Barishona, Uvishni, Uvishlishis. So over here, we're going to now suggest this as follows. He had a machshavas pigal for one, two, and three. Now already you can guess that the Gemara later on is going to be bothered because it's really not consistent with the writing of the Brisa, the way the Brisa presents itself. But right now, just bear with me. Let's right now pretend that it fits nicely with the language of the Brisa. In other words, he had a machshavas pigul during the first, second, and third round. Now, of course, it begs the question. If you had a machshavas pigul for first, second, and third round, What are we even debating? Meaning, right. You're good, right? Huh? Yeah, in other words, right. So we're right. So what's the debate over here? So the way Rashi explains the Gemara right now, and again, I'm going to say it over like Rashi. What happened is that you had a machshav during round one. That's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You had a machshavas pigel for round two. That's towards the paroches. And you had a machshav for round three, but not for all of round three. Remember, round three consists of two parts. In other words, it's the mixing of the bloods, and then four corners of the inner mizbeach, and then al tiaro shel mizbeach, meaning the top of the mizbeach, seven times. And the way Rashi understands the Gemara now, it goes like this. Machshav is pigel during round one, during round two, and most of round three, or I should say better, part of round three. Meaning, on the four corners, machshav is pigel, chutz is mano. And then when you got to the tiaro shel mizbeach, you had nothing in mind. Okay, now, what's the hava mean over here? So the Gemara says, mao de tema. Here, now, if you're relying on carryover, meaning on kola osa al das rishon hu osa, you only need a machshava on one, and you didn't need to keep repeating having the machshava. By virtue of the fact that you're repeating round two and for the beginning of round three, so that's showing you that, or at least we think now it's showing us, you're not relying on the carryover effect. If you're relying on the carryover effect, you could have just been quiet for two and three. By virtue of the fact that you now had a machshava of two and three, you're not relying on the carryover effect. Well, if you're not relying on the carryover effect, so then you have to have a machshava for every one of the sprinklings, including the second half of the mizbeach, right? The seven that's sprinkled on the top of the mizbeach. So if you're not relying on the carryover effect and you missed the machshava's pigel on the last seven, that's the havamina now to say it shouldn't work. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the chiddush of the Braisa, is that even though it's you can make the argument that you're not relying on the carryover effect, coming to teach us that, no. That under such circumstances, it still would be considered pickle according to Rav Meir. Now the Gemara points out, just one second, now the Gemara points out, vaha bain bain katani. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, it's not consistent with the wording of the Braisa. The Braisa says, Bain Rishona, Bain Bishnia, Bain Bishlishis, and you're telling me that he had a machshavas pigel for this and this and this. The word Bain does not indicate the conjunction of and. The word Bain seems to indicate the conjunction of or. So the Gemara says, okay, it doesn't read well in the Braisa, Kasha, and the Gemara acknowledges it doesn't read well in the Braisa. Yeah.
In terms of going back to original Braisa and all the three rounds, why should you argue that, in effect, this can go with Rameh, because he looks at all three rounds as being one unit. So it doesn't matter if you do first round, second round, or third round. Anywhere along the way, it's all considered one unit. And if you do it, then
right. So what you're giving is in other words that you could be mefagel with chatzi matir.
No, it's one unit. And anywhere along this the time zone timeline, if you have a macro pigle. It's not
In other words, if I miss of the 43, if I miss one of them, so it didn't work. Meaning the Avodas Yom Kippurim requires all 43. Right. All 43 of them are essential.
One unit altogether.
But in other words, one is only one of 43. I don't understand what you're arguing.
No, I said having three cases, all three is like one.
All the three rounds,
right?
It's all one unit, one time.
Right. So, but they're all one unit. But in other words, but you have to do it 43 times.
Yeah. But I know, but it's still one package unit. So it's not like the between the Ketoret and the frankincense, where there are two separate steps. This could be considered one step.
It's hard. I hear what you're saying, but it's kind of hard. But in other words, what you're doing is 43 separate times. You can't do it once and be done with it. You have to do it 43 times. Okay. All right. Fine. Amar Mar. Rebbe Meir Omer Pigel V'chayev Alav Karis. So, the Gemara now is going to ask a question. We're on the very top of Mem Beis Amad Beis. And the question, admittedly, I'm going to admit right from the beginning, this next little piece of Gemara, It's going to be a little challenging. In fact, Rashi notes it. Rashi attempts to answer. But I'll read the Gemara. Let's go through the Gemara as best as we can. It comes out that according to Rav Meir, if you have a machshavas pigel during round one or round two or round three, so it's going to be pigel. And again, I know it's difficult for Reish Lakish, and the Gemara acknowledges it, and the Gemara spent an entire amud trying to defend the opinion of Reish Lakish. Fine. But in other words, what comes down now from this braisa is that if, let's say, during round one, yeah, the machshavas pigel, so now what? So now what is that, well, in order to get to pigel, you know, we know, we've done this before, we'll do it again. In other words, to get to pigel, you have to finish with the avodas adam. Which means that if you had a machshavas pigel for round one, that's like, say, for, let's say, for the first 16, but you still got another round of 16, plus another 4, plus another 7. In other words, it won't actually get to the point of pigel until you complete all of the sprinklings of all the hazars. Right? We all know that. And we've established that very well. What bothers the Gemara is as follows. I'll read the Gemara's question inside. So the Gemara says here's what we know. It only gets to the point of pigel when all the matirim are offered, all the blood is offered. Gemara quotes a line that we said before, and we're going to keep restating again and again because it is a tenet as it relates to pigel, in that it only becomes pigel after all the matirim are offered. By a standard carbon, the carbon has only become mutter when you offer all that needs to be offered, meaning all the dam. So too, by haratzas pasul, meaning by pigel, all the blood has to be offered. Fine. So far, so good. V'ha kevin dechashibe bifnim psula keman delo ade dame ki hader made behechal maya ba'alma hu deka ade. And the word ade, by the way, is an Aramaic word. It means sprinkling, right? It's the same word as maza. It's a great little trick. I've taught you this before, that when you're going from, it doesn't always work, obviously, but when you're going from Aramaic to Hebrew, so the dal and zayin interchange. So in other words, so the word in Aramaic is made, in Hebrew that's mazeh, which means to sprinkle. Okay, great. So but the Gemara now is making the following argument. Look, well, let's say when you sprinkle inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you had the machshavas of pigel. So now what becomes of the blood? The blood becomes pasul. So basically what the Gemara is asking now is that when you go into the Heichal and you're using this blood, what are you sprinkling with now? Well, the Gemara says it's water. Now, it's not physically water. It's not physiologically water. It's still blood. But halachically, it's water, meaning it's no good. And therefore, what the Gemara says is, how do you ever get to the point of pigel? Because at this point in time, now isn't it disqualified? Now, if you're thinking about the Gemara's question right now, you're realizing, well, that's a funny question. Meaning, you can ask this question for any case of pigel. Meaning, if you're making the argument that the blood gets disqualified at the point of pigel, so then, and what you're sprinkling now is not blood, it's halachically nothing, and remember, we only get to the pigel when you complete the avodas, you complete the matirim, so then how do you ever get to pigel? So this question, really, what the Gemara is asking right now is really strange, because this question is really going to be upsetting the entire principle of pigel, at least the way we think of it. And so I told you Rashi is bothered by that. Rashi says, and I encourage you, I strongly encourage you, read the Rashi inside. I read it once, I'll be honest with you, I read it more than once. Read the Rashi inside. Rashi basically tries to make the argument that by standard pigel, by regular pigel, meaning the Torah knows that this is in fact the case, and the Torah is still telling us it becomes pigel. But on the Yom Kippur Avoda, where there are multiple sprinklings that are done in multiple areas, so even though I finished one section correctly or incorrectly, in other words, it's pigel, but then when I move on to the next section, so that blood now is no longer usable. Right, even from a pigel standpoint, at least that's what the Gemara's thought process is. So Amar Rabba Mashkachala ba'arba parim uvedal tzirim. So Rabba is so bothered by this question, so he says, "Oh, okay, you know what? You're right. In fact, you're so right that the only way that really can ever get to a point of pigel by avodas Yom Kippurim is only when you have 4 bulls and 4 goats, and that means, and again, it's almost an absurdity. And I'm not saying it disrespectfully, but it's almost an absurdity." Where you shech the bull, you shech the goat, you do the first round of sprinkling, okay? And then, again, you can't use that blood for any next subsequent rounds. So then you shech a second bull and a second goat, and you sprinkle that successfully for round number 2. And then round number 3 and round number 4 as well. Round number 4, I imagine, is either the part 2 of the inner mizbech, or maybe the round 4 is the shirayim. But in any event, In other words, so that's how you get to the case of Machshavas Pigol in the case of Avodas Yom HaKippur. Okay, that's a real ukimta. Rava Amar Afilu Tema Baparecha V'Sirachad LePigul Amaratze. And Rava basically attacks the heart of the very question. Meaning, you're telling me, says Rava, that, well, in other words, after you sprinkle for round number one with a Machshavas Pigol, the blood is no longer blood. And therefore, it's water, and therefore, you're never going to complete the Hazaz. Rava says that's not true. In other words, it's blood, and not only is it blood, but you're completing the Hazaz. And not only are you completing the Hazaz, but, in other words, right, that's exactly what Rava is saying. Meaning, vis-a-vis Pigol, it's being completed. Now again, it's, in other words, it's not the thing that we want to get to, but at least it is creating the Pigol. The creation of Pigol is, in fact, considered the Hartza'ah, vis-a-vis the blood. Okay? And so Rava just simply, he doesn't accept the premise of the question to begin with. In other words, it's not water. It is still blood. It's not going to result in a kosher carbon. You're right, but it's going to result in a pigle carbon, and that also is a carbon. Finishing up the daf today, Arbam v'shalosh v'atanya Arbam v'sheva. Now, the Braisa, when introducing us to how many sprinklings are done total on Yom Kippur, so the number that was given to the Braisa was 43. Now, I told you how we got to the number 43. 8 times 4 is 32, plus another 11 of them is Mizbeach HaPanimi, so that gets us to 43. The Braisa says 47. How do you get to 47? HaKaman D'Amar Ma'arvin L'Kronos. V'HaKaman D'Amar Ein Ma'arvin L'Kronos. Here's the part that's not perfectly clear. I mentioned earlier this morning. The Torah is pretty clear with the instructions, but there's one point in the Avodas Yom HaKippur, it's not totally clear. And that is as follows. We know the blood of the goat and the bull are going to get mixed together. Exactly when are they going to get mixed together? So the way we present at the beginning of Shir today is they get mixed together before the Mizbeach HaPanimi. So that when you're doing the four of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, it's only one round of four. That's what we said earlier this morning. What the Gemara now is proposing is that there's another opinion that says, no, you first hit the four corners with the blood of the bull. You then hit the four corners with the blood of the goat, then you mix the bloods together, and then you hit Tiara Shel Mizbeach. That gets you another four, 43 plus four, that's 47. Fine. V'hatanya Arban Vishmona. So the Gemara says there's another Braisa that says actually the number is 48. So the Gemara says, Kamandam Shirai Ma'akvin. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, get to number 48, because there's an opinion, which is the accepted viewpoint of whoever says 48. Which is that after you do the Mizbeach HaPanim with the blood, the mixed blood, you now have the mixed blood, and next step, you go to the Aron Mizbeach and you pour it down the Yesod of the Aron Mizbeach. Now, by a standard carbon chatas, that's not an essential avoda. For Yom Kippur, there's an opinion that it is an essential avoda. You don't get four, you get one. It's 47 plus 1. No. 43 was the other opinion. That was the opinion of the beginning of today's shir.
How do you get to 47?
Because he also subscribes to the viewpoint that the bull and the goat are not mixed together for the four corners. So that gets you another round of four. That's 47. Plus the shiraim on the yisod of the mizbech, that's 48. Hakaman d'amar ein shiraim me'akvin. And Hedy, I mean, we should all be interested, but in other words, the Rambam says 48. Rambam says on Yom Kippur, the number is 48.
Not to mix it?
Right. Not to mix it for the four corners. You do mix it for then Tiara Shel Mizbeach. Okay. Meisvei. Okay, and I mentioned this at the beginning of Shir today, but here we go. In other words, if I found a Braisa that tells me that according to Rav Meir, I am a Fagel either with the first or with the second, so we have a problem. Now, honestly, we've been dealing with that all morning. Meaning, because the brisa that we dealt with was with sprinkling of the bloods of Yom Kippur, and it comes in three rounds. And the brisa says either one or two or three. And for a good part of today's daf, most of today's daf, we try to address it and try to give different ukimtas in the brisa. Here, the Gemara now is going to quote another brisa, Meisvei. Ba'med var mamorim b'kemitza b'ma'an kli v'hiluch aval ba'lo lahaktara. If I'm burning now the portion of a mincha that needs to be burnt, and again, there are two parts of every mincha that need to be burnt. The komets and the lavona. Nasan is a komets b'machshava v'es lavona b'shtika. Osha nasan is a komets b'shtika v'es lavona b'machshava. Rebbe Meir Omer pigol v'chaya v'nalav kares. If a machshava's pigol were to occur to either one of the two, so then it becomes pigol. And v'chachamim omrim ein bo kares ad shifagal b'chol hamatir. And the chachamim say, no, you have to be mefagal for both, komets and lavona. Ketani mia, what did we just see in the braisa? Es hakometz b'shtika v'es halavona b'machshava. Kometz offered first silently, then the lavona offered b'machshava, with the machshava as a pigle. And that's not good for Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish says that Rameir agrees that you need a machshava for all of the matir, but he believes in the carryover effect. Carryover effect doesn't work retroactively. Carryover effect only works when you first have the machshava and then the rest of it is done silently. Upalig, and meanwhile, in this braisa, Reb Meir is arguing in both where the machshava was one or two. So Ema, so the Gemara makes a suggestion. Kivar nasan esalavona b'machshava. Well, maybe what the braisa means is that when you offered the kometz with an intent, when you offered the kometz quietly, the lavona was already offered b'machshava. So the Gemara says, not loving that answer. Chada haynu reisha. First of all, then the braisa is giving two cases, but the way we just set up the second case, it's a repetition of the first case. And va'od hatanya va'achakach. And again, being true to the wording of the braisa says the words acharkach. Acharkach means this is a sequence. And if this is a sequence, it means the first matir was done quietly, the second matir was done with a machshava. Reb Meir says rechayv pigel, meaning in pigel major with an iser kares. And so, kasha. So the Gemara acknowledges, the Gemara admits, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's difficult. I had a difficult time explaining this braisa within the sheet of Reish Lakish. As a quick summary now. So basically, we have seen Reb Meir saying that one could be subject to pigel even though he didn't have the entire matir in mind, but even a portion of the matir. By a mincha, portion of a matir would simply be one of the two matirim. By a standard carbon, it's a little bit tricky because you only need to do one zrika by standard carbon. The others are not essential. But by Yom Kippur, where obviously there are multiple sprinklings that are needed, so the way Reb Meir presents himself is that if I have a machshava for just one of the matirin, so that creates pigel. The simple way to explain Reb Meir is that he's mefagel b'chatzi matir. Reish Lakish says no. He agrees that you need the full matir in mind. It's that Reb Meir subscribes to this viewpoint of the carryover effect. Kol ha'osa adas rishona hu osa. That when you have a machshava in the beginning, so that machshava now is able to carry over to all the other things that are done. And is Reish Lakish's position defensible? With difficulty. Meaning the Gemara quoted the braisa regarding the Avodas Yom Kippur. Doesn't sound like Reish Lakish's viewpoint. It can really work in that braisa. The Gemara really struggles to try to fit him into that braisa. The Gemara quotes another braisa on the bottom of Membeis Amud Beis, also seemingly not going in accordance with Reish Lakish's understanding of Reb Meir. And again, the Gemara with difficulty tries to defend that position as well.